Turning your Bibles to the book of Joshua. That is in the Old Testament. Vicki, let Courtney help you find that. Joshua chapter 2, we'll get there here in a few minutes. Also, if you're here this morning, if you will, please turn your phone on, go to Facebook, check in, let the world know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and we've already had a good time. Amen? Amen. Last week we took a hard, long look at a hot topic in America today on guns and gun control. Now, you might be thinking, if you weren't here last week, how in the world? Listen, everything that's happening in the world today, there's nothing new. Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. There really isn't. But we considered several different scenarios concerning this hot topic and came to a strong conclusion, not through man's opinion, but through Scripture. What we learned is that it does not matter how strong regulations are, you are not going to ever stop a person who is crazy and desires to kill other people. You can't stop them. You're not going to stop them. Our Bible tells us plainly that in the end times, that this world will resemble what the world looked like in the days of the flood. That our world would be just filled with violence. We learned that through looking at the atrocities that we've seen, that more are coming, and they're seen in the book of Revelation, that we are most definitely being conditioned to accept things that are coming. And by that, we can expect more atrocities more frequently and with more intensities in days to come. We learned that Jesus is the only answer to this world's problems, and we have pushed Jesus so far out of our daily lives that we should feel and smell danger in this world, church. We've pushed him away. And then we ask God, why aren't you protecting us? You know, we've pushed him away. We pushed him out of our lives. We learned that we as Christians have been conditioned and are conditioning, continue to be conditioned to tell in this world today, listen, we've been conditioned, and God has also commanded us to tell the world exactly what's taking place, to prepare the world for what is most assuredly coming. It is our Christian duties and our divine obligation to do what God has told us to do by warning the world. Today, I want to show you how simple it is to be used by God. We think it's so hard, but it's so simple, to make an eternal impact for the kingdom of God. You know, it's like pulling teeth to get people to do things in the church. It really is. When you put up a sign-up sheet and say, look, we need volunteers for so-and-so, it very seldom does that volunteer list ever fill up, and you don't have to go asking people or begging people to do something they should already be willing to do. Amen? But this morning, please understand, I want to show you how simple it is to be used by God. Now, a lot of times we don't see it. We don't, you know, it's just like the miracles of God that we were singing about a few minutes ago. We do not proclaim what we see. So let's look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from Achaia Grove, saying, go and scout out the land, especially Jericho. So they left, and they came to a house of a woman. What was she? A prostitute, a harlot, named Rahab. Now, I want y'all to remember that, because we're going to see something here in a second. She was a prostitute. God can't use a prostitute. God can't use a stripper. God can't use a drunk. God can't use a homosexual. God can't do this. God can't do that. God can't do, listen, God's God. God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with whoever he wants. Do you hear me? So we have, in the book of Joshua, we have a woman who was a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelite men have come here tonight to investigate the land. The king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, for they came to investigate the entire land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, yes, the men did come, to me, but I did not know where they were from. At nightfall, when the gate was about to close, the men went out. I don't know where they were going. Chase after them quickly, and you can catch up with them. But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them among the stalks of flax. And she had arranged on the roof. The men pursued them along the road and the fords of the Jordan. And as they had left to pursue them, the gate was shut. Before the men fell asleep, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and the dread has fallen on us, and everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters on the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, you completely destroyed across the Jordan. When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my family because I showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my family, my mother, brother, sisters, and all who belong to them, and save us from death." The men answered her, "We will give our lives for yours if you don't report our mission, and we will show kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us the land." Then she let them down by a rope through a window, since she lived in a house that was built into a wall of the city. "Go to the hill country so that the men pursuing you won't find you," she said to them. "Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return. Afterwards, go your way." The men said to her, "We will be free from this oath from you that you made us swear, unless when we enter the land, you tie a scarlet cord to your window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into the house. If anyone goes out the doors of your house, his blood is on your own head, and we will be innocent. But if anyone with you is in the house should be harmed, his blood will be on our hands. And if you report our mission, we are free from the oath you made us swear. Let it be as you say," she replied. And she sent them away. After they were gone, she tied the scarlet cord to the window. So the two men went to the hill country and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had returned. They searched along the way but did not find them. Then the men returned, came down the hill to the hill country and crossed the Jordan. They went to Joshua, son of Nun, and reported everything that had happened to them. Then they told Joshua, "The Lord has handed over the entire land to us. Everyone who lives in the land is also panicking because of us." Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Asking you, Lord Jesus, right now in this hour of your word, that you just calm us down. Lord, I pray that you would settle us. Lord, you'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and help us to be receptive to what we're about to hear this morning. God, we love you, and we need to hear a word from you. We need to feel your presence this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Now I want you to remember, before I go any further, the point of this message is to show you how simple it is to be used by God. We don't see it. We're to the point where we really don't expect it. And some of us, we're just like, I don't know, why is God not using me? Now, I want to stop here for a second and tell you. Listen, if you're not in the Word of God and on your knees and obeying what the Word of God says, you're not going to hear from God. You're not. If you're living in open rebellion against anything that the Word of God says is sin, well, Brother Kyle, how do you know what? Listen, the Bible says what sin is. It's not open for discussion. And listen to me, God could care less what your opinion is on the topic of sin. Sin is sin. Do you understand? Well, you just think you know it all. No, I'm standing on the Bible. I'm standing on the Word of God. And if you're not standing on the Word of God, you are standing on sinking sand. You're in trouble. You really are. So what is it that we see? What is it that I want you to see and understand? How easy it is to be used by God. Well, this morning we just read a story about Rahab. Now, the first thing I want you to see is this. Rahab was minding her own business when the Lord interrupted her day with two spies. She was going around doing her own thing. Now, she had heard word, everybody, the city was stirring because the Hebrew children were just on the other side of the Jordan. And everybody knew. Everybody knew what had happened, how they had fled Egypt, how God had allowed them to destroy two kings, how the Red Sea just evaporated in front of them. And listen, I always tell y'all this when I speak of this, that wasn't a minor thing. Liberals today try and say, oh, it wasn't that big of a thing. They just went through a small little puddled plain through the Red Sea. It wasn't that big of a deal. Well, it was a big deal. Listen, 2 to 3 million Hebrew children crossed the Red Sea in about 3 hours' time. You hear me? And Scripture says it was on dry ground. Well, yeah, but it wasn't that deep. Well, it was deep enough. Hey, listen, it was deep enough to destroy all their pursuers who came after them from the Pharaoh's command out of Egypt. They died. That's even more of a miracle if they were walking on just a little puddle. They all died in a puddle. I've about drowned in Lake Wylie a couple times, but I ain't ever drowned in a puddle, y'all. She was minding her business, and she told the spies, says, look, you know, the whole city is in fear because we know who you are, we know what you've done, and we know what's going to happen to this city. Minding her business. You ever been minding your business and God interrupted your day? Have you ever been minding your business and God tried to interrupt your day and you just went along doing what you were doing and didn't pay any attention to it? What would have happened to Rahab had she not been interrupted by God? Let herself be inconvenienced by God. You know, I sit and listen a lot here at the church. And one of the things we need here more than anything, we need women in the nursery. We need women or men to volunteer for children's church. Brother Kyle, I don't want to do that. Do you understand? Listen, do you understand while you're watching someone's children, they could be in this sanctuary hearing the Word of God and accept Christ as their personal Savior? It's that simple. It's that easy. It's not hard. Well, I don't want to. Do you think Rahab wanted to do what she did? I mean, she was minding her business, Cynthia. Minding her business. And God interrupted her life. Second thing I want you to see about Rahab is this. She did not have to do anything. She did not have to respond. She could have walked away and lived her life until God sent the Hebrew children into Jericho. Now, incidentally, Steve, if she wouldn't have done anything when the Hebrew children came into Jericho, guess what she would have been? Dead. God interrupted her. She listened, and she was used. Had she not listened, she knew what was going to happen. She told them what was going to happen. She feared what was going to happen. But she allowed herself to be used by God to do something absolutely extraordinary. Was it hard? No. We'll get that here in a second. Church, third thing I want you to see is this. When God interrupted Rahab's life, she responded. She didn't just sit and do nothing. She didn't whine, moan, groan, and complain. She didn't say, oh, God, says you want to do something. Listen, I don't understand something here, church. I really don't. It's not like I'm asking you to do something or the deacons are asking you to do something or the choir director's trying to ask you to do something. I don't understand why people don't respond when God asks them to do something. It's God. Well, God's never asked me to do something. Okay, let's go back to are you in the Word of God and are you on your knees? Because listen, please understand, God created you, each one of you, from the top of your head to the tips of your shoes, not to sit around doing nothing, not to spread gossip, not to throw your opinions everywhere. God created each one of you and me to serve Him. You are to be a walking, talking billboard for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never stopping, always on the go to serve Him. That's why you were created. And most people don't do anything. Our greatest sin when we stand before the Lord is going to be the sin of silence. Oh me. Oh me. She responded, church, when God called her to do something. Fourthly, when Rahab responded to the Lord, she saved her family's life and is now considered a hero of the faith. Rahab. Rahab. Did I mention that God says in His Word that she was a prostitute? As we look in our lives and our minds and we categorize sin and where God can't remove somebody from a sinful life and God can't use this person when they're in this lifestyle or that lifestyle because God, I mean, they're unreachable. Listen, as long as you have breath in your life and your body, God can reach you, but you have to want to be reached. You have to want to hear the Word of God. And listen, you cannot live a life contrary to the Bible or to the Word of God. You cannot. And expect to be used. Can I tell you what God did with a prostitute with an open heart? Look with me in the book of Matthew. Matthew, and we don't have to go deep. Matthew chapter 1. The first book of the Gospels is a historical book, but it was written, my Wednesday night class, who was the book of Matthew written to? To the Jews. Matthew was writing to the Jews. So the first thing we see is a genealogical list here, right? This tells us the line from Abraham until Jesus was born. It was very important in the Jewish life to see the genealogies of who was living. And we're going to talk about some genealogies tonight in our Genesis study. So if you're interested in that, kind of y'all come tonight. But in this genealogy list here, we see in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 4, Abraham fathered Abinadab. Abinadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salom. Salom fathered Boaz by... You mean to tell me that a prostitute is in the genealogical line between Abraham and Jesus? Why, yes, he is. Yes, she is. But now, they're studying bad boys of the Bible. Let me tell you, Rahab was a bad girl of the Bible. A bad girl. Well, what does that tell you? If you are seeking God, He is still here to be found. You will not be able to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day when you take your last breath and say, I didn't know. He's going to say, really? You didn't know? How many times did you pass your Bible and not read it? How many churches are there in the state of Georgia and you refuse to go in them because they didn't believe what you believed? They preached the Word of God and they didn't care what you believed. Listen, I stand with Jesus. I promise you, I am not, and my wife holds me accountable, and I'm sure the deacons hold me accountable, and there's people in this church like Miss Desi who hold me accountable. I preach the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God. If the Word of God doesn't say it, you don't need to believe it. And if the Word of God says something, you need to put it in your pipe and smoke it because it's the truth. Church, do you see how simple it was to be used by God and how God makes it so simple for us to have an eternal impact? Just by looking at this life, the life of Rahab. All Rahab did, listen, Steve, listen, this is it. Tony, listen, this is how easy it is to be used by God. God interrupted Rahab's life, Josh. You know what she did? It was so hard. I mean, it was so hard. She hid two guys. I don't have time to do what God asked me to do. I have four kids, and I have this, and I have that. I don't have time. No, listen, you don't make time. You don't want to. You know what I'm going to do here in a few minutes? After I get done preaching, I'm going to take my wife somewhere to eat. You know where we're going to go? Wherever she wants to go. You know whose decision that is? That's my decision. I'm going to take my wife where she wants me to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're going to do what you want to do. There's some of you, listen, there's some of you who you're not coming back tonight. You've already decided, I'm not coming back tonight. You can't make me come back tonight. Listen, don't come back. You've already decided. I'm not doing anything else. This is the only time I'm coming. That's fine. See you. We'll see you next week. You've already decided. Church, God makes it so easy to serve Him, to make an unbelievable, I'm talking an unbelievable impact in the lives of people. But we have to be willing. Do you want to hear another example? Now, that was a long example. I read the whole chapter 2 of the book of Joshua. But y'all want to hear another one? It's a little smaller. I'm glad you said yes, because I'm going to give you one anyway. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In the days the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. In other words, there wasn't a whole lot of God moving in this time period. God was kind of silent. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room before the lamp of the Lord had gone out, before he had died. Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, little Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." He ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me?" I didn't call," replied Eli. "Replied, go lay down." So he went and lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called?" I didn't call you, son," he replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here am I, you called?" Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord the Lord came, stood there, and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responded, "I'm sleeping. Please don't bother me." Is that what your Bible says? Listen, all he said was this: "Speak, your servant is listening." Did you hear that? Was that hard? Listen, we're getting ready to have an invitation. And I want to personally invite all of y'all to come down here to the altar. And this is what you probably need to say: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So, some of us need to acknowledge that we are servants of God. We're nothing more, nothing less. We've put ourselves on pedestals and patted ourselves on the back. We think we know everything. We think we can do everything. There's nothing beyond our scope. Listen, you're doing it on your own power. Some of you need to get back to God and say, "God, listen, I'm your servant. I've walked away from you. I know what's right and wrong, and I've chosen wrong before right. And listen, I want to hear from you." By Samuel responding, just that little simple prayer, Elizabeth, he said, I'm here. Your servant's listening. God did extraordinary things in the life of Samuel. Go back and finish reading this chapter, the rest of the book of Samuel. God did something, I mean, absolutely extraordinary in his life. He led kings, four different kings he led through the Spirit of God. What did he do? I'm here, Lord. I'm listening. Do you know why we're not being used by God? We're not listening to God. We want to do things our way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people say. Listen, I want to do things my way. Well, I want you to understand, this ain't a Frank Sinatra song. You're not going to be able to do things your way. You either do things God's way or you're in trouble. God doesn't care what you think. His word is alive and well. Amen? And if you're not being led by God, you're being led by yourself and you're in trouble. But listen, there's another. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 18. As he was telling them these things, suddenly one of the leaders came and knelt down before him, saying, "My daughter is near death, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus and the disciples got up and followed him. Just then, a woman who was suffering from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the tassel on his robe. For she said to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well." Jesus turned and saw her. "Have courage, daughter," he said. "Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. What did she do? This is just so simple. So simple. She realized that she had a problem that she couldn't fix. She had gone to every doctor. She had lost just about all her income trying to fix what was taking place in her body. Scripture tells us that she had a blood issue. Her blood ran and it never stopped. Well, if you understand Levitical laws, you understand that if you have a blood issue, you can't go to the temple. You can't worship in the temple. You can't be around people. You cannot have a husband, really, because the husband can't touch you according to Levitical laws for 10 days after you complete your blood issue. And her blood issue never stopped. What a miserable existence. What did she do? She knew that Jesus could save her. She knew Jesus could heal her. And all she did, Bill, was reach out and touch. She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." That's it. That's all. And she reached. She reached. That's all she did was just reach. Sonia, she just reached. She stretched and touched the hem of his garment. How hard was that? And God used her in unbelievable ways. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't see anywhere else in Scripture where she's used. Do you think she kept that testimony silent? Do you think she kept that quiet? Do you not see that people saw her countenance on her face? The blood came back to her face. She was no longer just pale and white. She went everywhere telling exactly what she did. "All I did was touch the hem of his garment. All I did was touch the hem of his garment." Well, Brother Kyle, how do you know this? It's recorded in Scripture. We're still talking about it today. Here's another one. You ready? Now, if y'all aren't paying attention, pay attention to this. I've told y'all about this in times past, I believe. There was a man years ago, long, long time ago, by the name of Edward Kimball. Any of y'all have ever heard that name before? Edward Kimball? Anybody? Edward Kimball was a simple Sunday school teacher. That's it. He was a Sunday school teacher. How many Sunday school teachers do we have in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. If you are not in Sunday school, you need to come to Sunday school. If you come to church and say, I don't know anybody, nobody connects with me. If you want to get connected with the church, come to Sunday school. Amen. He was a Sunday school teacher, and God burdened his heart. You know what his burden was? He taught little boys Sunday school class. His heart was burdened because those boys were driving him crazy. Hey, listen, he about quit. Ryan, he about had enough. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Ryan? I've had enough. These boys are crazy. And God burdened his heart. Well, they might be crazy because they're lost. Why don't you ask each one of them about their salvation? What if Edward Kimball said, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to do that. You want to inconvenience me by taking my time out. I'm already blessing your heart, God, by teaching Sunday school. And now you want me to just talk to every one of them individually and ask them about their personal salvation? You're just asking too much. No, he didn't do that. After class, week after week after week, Edward Kimball would pull one boy to the side and say, listen, I want to ask you a question. Wake up. He'd ask him a question. Son, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you ever given your heart to Jesus? One after one after one, he made personally sure that each one of those boys knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if they didn't, he won them to the Lord. How hard is that? How hard is that? Is that hard at all? Jennifer, are you saved? Jeff, are you saved? Josh, are you saved? Timmy, are you saved by the blood of Jesus? Josh, are you saved? Are you saved, son? How hard is that? Do you know my Jesus? Hey, how are you doing today? Man, I'm doing great. People ask you that all day long today. How are you doing, sir? I'm doing great. Jesus changed my life. He saved me. Do you know my Jesus? That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Well, I can't do that. Well, something's wrong with you. Jesus didn't change your life the way he changed mine. That's simple. Edward Kimball, all he did was ask these little boys if they were saved. Something happened. There was a man in his Sunday school class, a little boy at the time, and his name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was one of those little boys in Mr. Kimball's Sunday school class who accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. D.L. Moody was a Northeastern big-time preacher who turned into evangelist. I mean, he set the world on fire. He set Chicago on fire. Not really, but I mean, he was there when the Chicago fires were taking place during the Civil War. Listen, D.L. Moody was so on fire for the Lord, he would not go to sleep at night unless he had personally witnessed to somebody during that day. There were several times when D.L. Moody got up in the middle, he was praying at night, and God reminded him that he did not witness to anybody. He would get up out of his bed, put on his trousers, and walk the street until he had told somebody about Jesus. All because Mr. Kimball, the Sunday school teacher, D.L. Moody was preaching one day, and this guy by the name of F.B. Meyer heard him. F.B. Meyer, some of y'all probably have books, Christian books that he's written. Hey, he accepted Jesus under the message of D.L. Moody and became an unbelievable spiritual giant in the world. F.B. Meyer was preaching, and a guy named Wilbur Chapman was listening. And Wilbur Chapman accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. All of this is happening because one Sunday school teacher got the fire of the Lord and just asked, hey, do you know my Jesus? Wilbur Chapman was preaching, and this little boy by the name of Billy Sunday was in the sanctuary. Billy Sunday heard what was going on, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. He was on fire. Listen, y'all need, if y'all hadn't ever heard of Billy Sunday, you need to hear about Billy Sunday. I'm sure there's still some recorded messages online that you can hear Billy Sunday preaching. Well, Billy Sunday became an unbelievable fireball evangelist. And one day, while he was preaching, this man by the name of Mordecai Ham was in the audience. And he felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit as he was preaching. And Mordecai Ham came to know Jesus as his personal Savior. Brother Kyle, how far are you going to go with this? This is the last one. Listen. Mordecai Ham became a preacher and was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina in September of 1934. Two amazing things happened. A prayer meeting took place on a small farm near the revival site, and a man named Vernon Patterson prayed that God would raise up someone from Charlotte, North Carolina, to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. While Mordecai Ham was praying, God answered that prayer when a man by the name of Billy Graham was saved in those services. We think it's so hard. Look. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 unbelievably mind-blowing, earth-shattering preachers came out of one man's desire to make sure that every little boy in his Sunday school class was saved by the grace of God. 6. How hard is that? Do you know Jesus, Jeff? We make it so hard, and God makes it so simple. How did it all start? One man on fire for the Lord. Now look, last example. Look at me. There's not many more people who are more simple than I am. Look at me. Church, I was working as a machine operator in a cast iron foundry in Charlotte, North Carolina, when God spoke to me about, listen, all he wanted me to do was be a helper in Awana. Just a helper. Bill, could you get along without helpers in Awana? All you do, listen, all you do is you come and look, watch this. Look this. Look, oh, this is hard. Look, this is all you do. You know what I'm doing? I'm listening. That's all I'm doing. I'm listening to the clubbers as the clubbers recite their verses. That's all I'm doing. I was a helper. A helper. Ryan, I signed up just to be a helper. And God took me from being a helper to being a leader. And then from a leader to a director. From a director to being the game commander. From the game commander to being the assistant commander, from the assistant commander to being the commander, from being the commander to being a Sunday school teacher, from a Sunday school teacher to a deacon, from a deacon to a youth pastor in Monticello, Kentucky, from a youth pastor in Monticello, Kentucky, to a youth pastor in Greer, South Carolina, to a pastor in the low country of the great state of South Carolina, to being your pastor today. Listen, all I did was respond to God when he said, you need to be a leader. That's it. Do you know what really scares me? This coming Friday, Billy Graham's going to be laid to rest at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. And y'all have seen the testimonies, y'all have seen the news. A great mouthpiece of God has grown silent. Even in his old age, people would interview him, and we'd hear the interviews or we'd hear things that Dr. Graham has said. That voice has gone quiet. You know, I read a list from Edward Kimball all the way to Billy Graham of men who were just shaking the world for Jesus. Who is it today? Where are they today? Have we gone too far? Have we pushed Jesus so far away that we're not going to hear have another man like that? Hey, listen, Pastor, what are you praying for in the last days? I'm praying for one more great national revival. Is that beyond God? Absolutely not. And as you know, listen, America's not seen in the book of Revelation. That means something bad's coming. I don't know what it is, but something bad's coming. We need revival. And it can start here. And it all starts so simply. How will this revival start? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I know today we saw how God uses the simplest of things, the smallest of things. And I can't imagine that God can't start a national revival in the United States of America because a group of individuals in Savannah, Georgia decided they were going to get on their face before God at the end of a service and pray that God would do something extraordinary one more time before He came again. I can't imagine that God wouldn't honor that. Church, we need people to do little things. Just little things. God needs people to do the little things. Church, God can do amazing things if we are just willing to do the smallest things for Him. Smallest things. Like what, Brother Kyle? Food pantry item of the month is what? Jelly. Go to the dollar store. Buy 5 jars of jelly and bring it in. We need candy for the Easter egg hunt. Bring candy for the Easter egg hunt. We need volunteers for the Easter egg hunt. Just come. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. We need volunteers for the children's camp. It's in 3 or 4 months. It's that simple. Church, did Edward Kimball ever know the tremendous impact that he made for the world this side of heaven? I'm sure that he didn't. Nor will any of us know the impact we make. But can I tell you that there may very well be a little boy who lives in the farms right now who will be the next Billy Graham, and all he needs is for you to do your little part and respond when God calls you. Are you willing to do that? Or are you just too busy? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that you would burden our hearts right now during this time of invitation. Pray that you would do what only you can do. I pray that you would draw us to our knees, that we'd spend some time with you during this invitation. Help us not to be ashamed of who you are as we walk this aisle and get on our face before you. Lord, if there be somebody who's trapped in sin, who doesn't know you as their personal Savior this morning, who wants to get away and get back to you or get to you, Lord, I pray that you would give them the freedom to walk this aisle. Take me by the hand and let me show them what the Word of God says each person must do to be born again, to know you and have eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Will you come and spend time with the Lord here at the altar? Will you come and just say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. I'm listening. Will you come?